This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Lapasa is an online B2B procurement platform that allows companies to purchase general supplies for their business via the system that acts very much like an add-to-cart and checkout service used in B2C marketplaces. We spoke to them in 2018 and recently they've joined Scale Up Malaysia. I'm here with Dinesh Kumar on what's been happening. Good morning, Dinesh.
Hi, good morning, Frida.
Actually, I know we've been speaking a lot to you, so it's a very exciting space that you're in. But maybe a recap for companies, for people that don't know you, right? What are some of the milestones since you started in 2018?
Right. So when we started in 2018, we very much focused on starting an e-commerce platform or an online platform for businesses to purchase. Because in 2018, when we started, the Lazada Shopee was there, obviously, and how consumers bought things like you and I on platforms, online platforms like that, was very much efficient, very fast, very transparent. We made decisions, purchasing decisions based on what's best for us, right? So the concept of starting Lapasa was very much, can we bring the same kind of efficiency, transparency, and experience to businesses?
Right.
That was the concept.
Right.
So when we started, we started purely with the corporates. We built a platform for the corporates to come and buy their stuff online, their day-to-day purchases. But the kind of category that we focused on was more office-related, right? So anything an office needs, which ranges from stationery right down to IT equipment. So anything you see in your office, we sold, right?
Right.
So that part of the business basically grew, kept growing until 2020 came March. We actually became profitable, which we were quite lucky. We became profitable on a net level. And then the pandemic came and then the lockdown happened, right? Now, with the lockdown, one thing was very, very obvious. People are not going to work from the office. We couldn't predict when this thing would be over or when normalcy will return. Looking at the situation now, thank God we actually approached it from that angle, right? Because of that uncertainty. So then obviously there's a dip in office-related purchases because the first MCO was quite strict. People were sent home and stuff like that. And we knew we could only sell three things now. Mask, thermometers, and sanitizers, correct? And so what we did or what we noticed is the normal vendors, because we're a marketplace, right? We're connecting demand and supply. The vendors that were usually selling on our platform couldn't get their hands on masks, sanitizers, and thermometers. It was traded like illegal items, like a cartel, right? Like you couldn't get your hands on those things. But somehow we basically got our hands on those items. We imported from China through our investors, through our connections and stuff like that. But we decided not to sell directly to the corporates.
Right.
We decided to sell it to our vendors at wholesale prices so that they can sell it back to our corporates, right? Because they were struggling. They couldn't sell anything to anybody. So that was sort of the start of our wholesale division in March. But we also knew that mask, thermometers, sanitizers is not going to be sustainable, right? We don't know if it's a permanent thing. Looking at this wholesale concept, we decided we want to be in wholesale. The growth has been incredible. We foresee that this growth can continue over the next few months or years even. And we decided that we want to start a wholesale platform for FMCG. Good. So your Milo, Nescafe, so Nestle, and all this stuff, right? Coke. And the target market that we went after was kedai runcits or mom and pop shops.
I see.
Hawker stalls and restaurants. And interestingly, this market is much larger than the first market we were in, right? The first market that we were in is about 2 billion ringgit a year, but this is 70 billion ringgit a year with no digital solutions in this space. So there was no prominent sort of market leader in a company providing all of these SMEs a platform for them to buy FMCG goods at wholesale rates. It was quite interesting, right? So we went into the space in June. We started with, 300, 400 square feet space just in our office, bought a few curtains, tested it out. And now we operate out of a 20,000 square feet warehouse. So it has grown quite fast over the last 11, 12 months.
Right. So this is very interesting. So I'm surprised, right? No one had that. When you talk about FMCG, so what was the conventional way of how people got it? They got it from your conventional wholesaler and it's not online.
Okay, so retailers, right?
Yes.
So these independent retailers, the small guys, right? We're talking about the small guys here, not the chain stores. So we call them general trade or unorganized trade. They, over the last 20, 30 years, the conventional way of getting things, so they had two choices. Number one, they can either go and buy from local wholesalers, which means they would have to go out. So that could be people like local wholesalers or the large wholesalers. One prominent name would be NSK, right? Or second, they can order from distributors. Distributors are second in the supply chain, right? After the brands themselves. Now, the problem with both these ordering methods are when you order from distributors, distributors are very much designed to serve large clients, chain stores, like 99 Speedmart or Tesco or those guys, right? They're designed to serve large clients. So when a small shop orders, they do not prioritize that order. And they tend to deliver, say, 7 to 10 days later at a price that's usually higher, right? Now, their second choice is to buy from wholesalers, meaning they go out, stand in line, buy from the warehouse and come back to their shop and sell. These were the only two methods. But in both cases, they were not, they couldn't guarantee stock availability, right? And and the sad thing about the shops is they depend on the availability of inventory to make a living day to day, right? So that was a challenge. So then what we did was we started dealing with all the distributors of the brands and we told them we're going to consolidate all of the shops and we're going to give them an online platform, an app application called Lapasa Borong. And they're going to have to order through that app. And we are going to store all our items in our warehouse and we're only going to serve the small guys, nobody else, right? And we're going to deliver within 24 hours. This was what we set out to do. And so since June, we have now, since June to now, we already have about 2,500 clients. And then we also introduced a line of credit service.
Right.
So based on 5 to 7 purchases, based on whether or not we have enough data, we then extend lines of credit either ourselves or by working with partners.
Right. So, okay, now that you're both in the office and also now in FMCG, right, have you seen competition coming to you?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
I think the office space has slowed down a bit, right, because of the situation. People don't work from offices. So that the competition in that space has slowed down a bit. Our business in that area has not slowed down. It has sustained. Somehow it has sustained because of the variety of corporates that we serve and the variety of things that we sell, right?
Right.
But not much competition in that area. Now, on the B2B side, there definitely is competition. There are digital platforms out there, pretty good ones as well. So I think you have heard of Droppy.
Yes.
You've heard of them?
Yes.
I think they are doing very interesting work in the digital space. So they approach solving the supply chain issue purely from a technological perspective. So we took a slightly different approach in that sense, right? We are also doing distribution. Our belief is that we've got to do end-to-end to really create impact for the end customer. So there's Droppy. There's also another company called Wabi2B. Now, that's a lesser-known company. They are not a Malaysian company. They are from Brazil. They're in multiple countries. That's another country that's also a company that's also approaching it from a technology perspective, where they are they aggregated all the supplies and they are promoting the app to the shops for them to download and purchase. That's from a technological point, right? But really, the competition or where majority of the market share lies are with the traditional wholesalers.
Right.
So if you go to Sungai Buloh or you go to Shalam, you can see a lot of these large grocery wholesalers. True to be told, most of our target market, most of the small restaurants, grocery stores and all that, they go out and buy from these wholesalers. So I would easily say in the central region, at least more than 50% of the shops at some point has bought from a wholesaler or will continue to buy from a wholesaler.
Okay, so this is very interesting because, okay, the other factor is that, you know, the fact that you need to take up so much space right now because of holding inventory. You feel that's strategic?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so we just raised a round of capital, right? And I think when you're raising capital, what especially technology investors don't like to see that you are holding space, you're holding inventory. They want to see that the technology is scaling by itself, right? But when I looked or learned from a lot of the e-commerce companies, successful e-commerce case studies, right? Our thesis or our belief is that if we only provide the technology, so I'll give you an instance here, right? If we only go and give shop A the platform to order, and I bring in a bunch of suppliers onto the platform,
right,
and I connect them, right? Similar to what we do in the corporate business. What's going to happen is, number one, I'm not going to be able to give them the price that they are willing to buy at, meaning I'm not going to help them improving in improving their bottom lines or their gross profits on products for the retailers, number one. Number two, I'm not going to be able to provide them guarantee on service levels, right? Because I'm a platform. I cannot dictate how the distributors or the wholesalers are operating,
right?
Which means that there's no difference to the retailer in the end of the day. They are still going to deliver late at the same high price, right? Number three, there's a lot of chances of leakages to happen. Meaning because I'm a platform with no scale and I'm new and I've not provided any sort of value, what's going to happen is they're going to use it as a discovery platform and then they're just going to buy offline from those guys, right? And why we know this is because when we started the FMCG platform, we started it like a marketplace as well. So we went out, we gave retailers the platform and we said, look, download. We have a bunch of suppliers and these exact three things happened, right? We tried to do back-to-back, didn't work as well. So then we looked at people like Alibaba or Amazon. And the reason they got so far is because they could control the end-to-end experience, right? Or for instance, the obsession Amazon has over creating an insanely good experience for the customers is what brought them so far, right? And and the only way you can do that or achieve that is by holding the end-to-end distribution. Now, that being said, it's not a long-term thing, right? Now, if we get to 10,000 shops in the next 24 months, that means we have scale. We have over half a billion ringgit of sales. Then what we can start doing is we can start aggregating supply as well. Meaning we don't hold it in our warehouse. We only hold top-selling items and get the suppliers to come onto the platform and send directly to the shops. But we can also dictate service levels. We can also dictate certain things because we have the scale
to
this online
platform. So now it's just about building traction and all that, right? We'll continue our conversation. Very, very interesting. I'm here with Dinesh Kumar from La Pasa. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Dinesh Kumar from La Pasa, which has evolved very interestingly in their space of B2B procurement from not just office supplies and now to FMCGs. And of course, you have just recently joined hands with Endeavour Malaysia. I said Scale Up Malaysia early on, sorry, with Endeavour Malaysia.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but tell me, how did that happen and why? Why did you decide to do this?
So, I was approached by Endeavour in 2020, and this is because I have been in touch with Anand Krishnan, who used to be the MD. And I worked a lot with Anand, right? Bouncing off ideas, just speaking about the business, talking about where things are headed, about the pandemic itself. We were in touch a lot during the first lockdown and stuff like that. So, I guess Anand found me to be a good fit to go and join this network for me to be able to learn from these guys. And he, I think, put me in touch with the current Endeavour team, right? And I was approached last year in June or July, probably middle of the year, right? 2020.
Yeah.
And then we started conversations. And truth to be told, I don't really know who Endeavour is, what they do, or what their significance is, until I started speaking to them. And we had multiple conversations. They probably spoke to me like 2-3 times. you know, really asking me about myself, about my growth philosophies or what the company wants to do and stuff like that. Mm. And then they said, look, we want to put you through the selection track, right?
Right.
And I went through 5 calls with 5 different mentors. Mm-hmm. Now, in those 5 calls, I wasn't expecting much. That I thought, okay, this is an organization. I'm going to go and join them. You know, perhaps get some value out of it. But those 5 calls that I had, the amount of things that I learned in those 1-hour conversations with all 5 of them was tremendous. I learned so much. There were so many different sort of views as to how I could steer this business. I was blown away and I told the Endeavor team, look, by hook or crook, I want to get in, right? Like, okay, this local selection panel is happening. So now it was significant to me. I really wanted to become a part of this this network.
Right.
And I went for the local selection panel. They grilled me for 2 hours. It was quite nerve-wracking. Mm. But thankfully, in the end, they said, okay, you're selected.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I guess the potential of that is the global network, right, of where and the ideas and thoughts from business leaders across the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Myself and Health Metrics, right? We got selected for the local selection panel. Mm. So we are local Endeavor entrepreneurs for now. Mm-hmm. Which means we already gain access to not only the local network, but the regional network as well. So the entire Southeast Asia and so on. Right? That itself is a huge leap to get so many different perspectives. Mm. But once we get through the international selection panel, hopefully, then yes, it's a global level access. Yeah.
Right. And what have you learned about yourself as you and your partners and co-founders as entrepreneurs in the last 5 years?
Interesting question. Mm. What have I learned about myself?
Yeah.
I tend to assume a lot. Sometimes blindly trusting the data doesn't work as well. But but in the past, I think I have made a lot of assumptions that were wrong.
Okay.
And all it took was to have a look or 2 times to look at the data and really make decisions based on that, right? So I learned that about myself. I also learned that, you know, whatever said and done, however much capital we raise, however much market share we gain, it really comes back to the fundamentals, which is the unit economics sound? Is the business able to turn a profit when you are not able to raise capital anymore, and when things like the pandemic happens, right? So the fundamentals are really, really easy.
Mm.
About the team, I think four hits or 5 hits or 10 hits is better than 1.
Right.
I think the different perspectives and the amount of arguments we get into, if we are leading an organization, I'm leading an organization, I think the less I speak, the better for the company.
Right.
The more they speak, the better for the company. I think that's something that I have learned as well. Speak less, listen more, and then the solutions could be way better.
Okay.
In the end. I think my team, one thing I learned about my team as well is they are much better than I thought they were. Thankfully for me. Because the pandemic came, we couldn't raise capital.
Right
down to actually raising it and going for growth. These people has been amazing in this journey. So, yeah.
Okay. No. There was one thing you said. Not, you know, you cannot just trust the data. Why is that?
Right. So, so I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Right? One metric that we really, really track diligently is average order value or basket size.
Right.
So when we're tracking that on a month-to-month basis, there are some orders that are so big. There are some orders that are so small, right? But the big orders pull up the average. So can we really make a decision based on that average value? Not really, right? So we were making a few product rollout decisions based on that, which proved to be the wrong decisions. Then we figured, look, we cannot look at average order value. We've got to look at median value, right? So when we followed that, we found that, look, we are only selling in Shalam, PJ and Klang or Awang.
Right.
These are different areas. Right? Different areas have different ones in terms of products.
Right.
So it's not always about data at hand. I think I'll rephrase that.
Mm-hmm.
Data at hand might not be enough.
Mm.
But also, those data has a lot of truth in it. Right. So following that, but also going out and acquiring new data in new areas is also important. That's one thing that we learned.
Right.
Data at hand is not always enough to paint the right picture to make the right decision.
Right. So it, and that, I guess, you know, comes with experience, and that comes from talking to people, you know, I guess business owners who have got a lot more experience than you, and not to just look at this, but hey, have you looked at that? And, you know, there are just things that I guess when you're at this level, and you know, you age and the years of business, that you are just not able to think about, because you know you just only got so much experience, right? Any final thoughts? It's been really interesting chatting with you, Dinesh. Any other thing you'd like to add on?
Well, we I mean, the only thing we would like to add on is that I would like to personally add on is that I'm super excited for the prospects that we have mm-hmm. built. I mean, the pivot that we made into FMCG, over the next 24, 36, 48 months, we are targeting to hit 2 billion ringgit of revenues. We are currently slightly above 100 million ringgit a year.
Right.
So the journey is quite exciting, and we are quite excited to see what technology can do in terms of changing the general retail outlook. So now we are giving them a purchasing solution, but what else can we do with the technology is something that we're really looking forward to. Mm. So for instance, a simple in and out, money in and out tracker and stuff like that. A lot of these things are being worked on by the team. So yeah, we're just excited to see how both how the pandemic accelerates digital adoption,
right,
and also how we are going to create an impact in the market. So right. I hope to come back and probably speak to you in another year.
I'm looking forward to this 2 billion that you are targeting, 24, 36, 48 months. Yeah. I'll be watching you and, you know, really looking forward to great stories again. It's just been interesting to see the evolution of your company. I've been speaking to Dinesh Kumar from La Pasa. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.